Hello, and welcome to the Career Management Education Series, which will include podcasts, webinars, white papers, and whiteboard videos. Please check back for future releases on a variety of topics within our competency development program. This podcast series will provide insights to help employees become more engaged and help managers, supervisors, and leaders alike at all levels create an optimum environment for effective employee engagement and improved retention. These podcasts will provide tips, techniques, and solid understanding of materials and topics for a self-paced approach to employee development. And I am Jeffrey Weaver from Advancia Technologies, and I am joined by Ms. Ann Lair, Senior Vice President from Center for Human Capital Innovation, and we will be your host. Today's podcast topic is interpersonal communications. So let's get started. Hi, Ann. Welcome back to the studio. It's great again to be working with you.
Hi, Jeffrey. Thanks so much for inviting me back. It's always a pleasure to do these podcasts with you.
Great. I look forward to having these interactions with you as well. As you know, this series will allow us to share our best practices, some information, and outline some skills and describe ways for employees and managers to gain better working relationships and grow in proficiency and competencies in their professional careers. The objectives of our podcast today include identify common mistakes for dealing with people, understand best approaches for managing interpersonal skills, and implementing best practices for interpersonal communications. So let's get started. I would have to ask you, first and foremost, what is interpersonal communications?
That's a mouthful, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah, so all it is, it's a fancy way of saying an exchange of information between two or more people. There's three things to really look at when you look at that definition. The first is two or more people. So there's multiple people who are exchanging information. Mm-hmm. The second thing to look at is information, where we're knowledge-based information. And the third piece is that it is an exchange. I'm sharing, you're sharing. It's not like one person is just lecturing. So interpersonal communication is just when two or more people are exchanging information.
Great. Okay. I understand that. So if we are two people having this conversation and we're trying to improve that communication, what would be the benefits, or how many benefits are there to improve interpersonal communication?
So many benefits, way too many to count. Probably the most important one is that we all have goals. We want to achieve things in our life, in our work, with our mm-hmm. family, in our community. And this exchange of information is a way to achieve those goals. You're going to get information that helps you achieve the goals. I'm going to get information that helps me achieve my goals. Mm-hmm. Now, there's verbal and nonverbal communication as well. So we're starting to get a little bit more complex here. So the verbal is what it sounds like. It's the words that we use. And the nonverbal is our body language, which tells us a lot of information as well in terms of our face, what we're doing with our hands, the cadence of how we're speaking, the tonality of how we're speaking. And when we learn how to read the nonverbals and pair it with the verbals, then that will give us information that can help us really move forward and wherever we want to move forward in our life.
Great. And I totally agree with that, because I hear people tell me all the time, you wear your emotions on your sleeve. You don't hide anything with your face. I am not in that profession where I'm able to hide those facial expressions. Like you just said, those nonverbals come out loud and clear, even though I'm not opening my mouth to tell you, wow, that suit is bright.
Absolutely. And that's the type of information that helps us create, maintain, build the relationships that are important to us mm-hmm. and our families and our communities and at work.
Right. I totally agree with that. So while there are those benefits of being able to figure out how you can read nonverbal cues from people you're speaking with, what would be some additional challenges that you think would be involved in that as well?
I'd say the three biggest challenges are technology, aptitude, and bias. So let me explain what I mean by that. So technology is wonderful when it works like this, right? Mm-hmm. We are actually able to have a conversation and share it with multiple people without being actually in front of them. So it's great when it works, and it can also cause problems. Sometimes the technology doesn't work. Sometimes we misinterpret what we're seeing in terms of a text or an IM chat or that type of thing. So technology is wonderful, and it can get in the way if we're not managing it appropriately.
Right.
The second challenge is what I call aptitude, which is another way of saying a skill set. Most people think you are born with the ability to have strong interpersonal communications, and that's not true. We are shaped as human beings. We are shaped by our family of origin, by mm-hmm. institutions such as schools, by places that we worship. And all of that shows us, how do you have a communication with someone? Do you shake hands, look them in the eye, smile, ask them how they're doing? Those things that most people think of as normal are not intuitive unless you're taught. And mm-hmm. so lots of times people have the basics, but maybe they don't understand the basics at workplace. And so really thinking about, what is the skill set for whatever workplace you're in that you need to be effective?
Right.
And I'd say the third challenge is something that's called bias. Now, when I usually say the word bias, people start to like, bias is bad. Bias is not bad. Bias just is. Bias is a preference. I have a mm-hmm. bias for a certain type of book or a certain type of movie or a certain type of food. And bias comes, again, from what shapes us. We see the world in our glasses. I've had glasses since I was in second grade, and I can't see anything without them. Mm-hmm. And then when I put them on, all of a sudden the world makes sense to me because I'm looking through my lenses. Mm-hmm. But if I put my glasses on you, Jeffrey, it's not going to make any sense to you.
Right.
And so really understanding, I have a bias for quick communication. I have a bias for bullet point emails. That may not be the way that works for you. Mm-hmm. And so realizing that just because I prefer something, i.e. my bias, does not mean that everybody else does. And I have to learn to adapt so that I can have stronger interpersonal communications.
Right. And I totally understand what you're saying as far as learning these things as a young child from everybody that we see in our household and then who we interact with in school. I would also ask the question, it probably has a lot to do with our diverse backgrounds as well when we bring all of those to the workplace. If I was from another country, let's say Britain or India, I would have a completely different lens that I'd be looking through, to use your example, than you would. So it would take us having a conversation to get to know one another and figure out what those biases might be, become better communicators while we're working together.
I agree 100%. And I would add on top of that, you don't even have to go outside the U.S. borders. We happen to both be in the U.S. right now. Mm-hmm. Just regionally, there's regional biases between the Southwest and the Southeast and how they see things. And there's biases across industries and sectors, federal government, private sector, mm-hmm. right? A technology company, a nonprofit. All of those organizations have bias. And so if I am used to working in one way and I have to now learn a different way, I have to shift my lens, the glasses that I'm using, to make sure that my interpersonal communications are appropriate for that world.
That is so right. I appreciate that. So we talked about some benefits and some challenges. What do you think might be common mistakes that most people in the workplace might make when it comes to interpersonal communications?
There's two mistakes that I say most of us make, and I'm just as guilty on a regular basis. The first is to think that we all think the same way. Adults learn in lots of different ways. Generally, there's seven different ways. And I tend to think, for example, visually, if you could see me, I'm moving my hands around a lot. I like to be able to touch and taste and see something. Mm-hmm. Other people like to see things and to learn perhaps just by reading or listening to a podcast. And so really understanding, again, back to bias, how do I prefer to learn and think? And then how does the person in front of me? Because we actually want diverse thinking. We don't want to all be thinking the same way. So I'd say the first thing is making sure that we understand how that person is actually thinking so we can communicate in a way that works for them.
Mm-hmm.
I'd say the other thing that is probably a big mistake that people make is assuming that everybody is motivated the same way. Some people are motivated financially. Some people are motivated altruistically. Some people are motivated in terms of making a big difference to their community. And so we need to understand what motivates them so that we can help them achieve their goals. And again, it's different for every person.
Okay, great. I totally get that. We also have to deal with people differently on a regular basis as we deal with people, like you said, not just regionally, internationally, or based on skill set. My skill set might be different than your skill set because we grew up differently in our careers. And where did that lead us? And how did that bring us to where we are today? So what would be an approach that you could think we'd be able to pass out to anybody in dealing with interpersonal communications in the regular workplace?
Lots of tips. And I want to be really clear, there's not one that's going to solve everything. And so you have to test and see what works for you, for your organization. I'd say the first one, though, is really just some one-on-one time with a person. And I don't mean that you have to have lunch with them every single day. Just really some time, 5 minutes, 2 minutes, just how you doing, what's going on, learning about them, learning their family names, understanding what's important to them, understanding how they work. I think that's really important in terms of starting to create the foundation of the strong interpersonal relationship. The other thing, once you start to create that rapport, is just ask them. Ask them how they prefer to receive information. Hey, if I was going to give you a podcast or a video, what would you prefer? Oh, I'd much rather watch the video because I like to see things. Okay, I'll send you a video. Mm-hmm. Hey, would you rather that I give you a white paper or that we talk about it together as a group? Oh, I really prefer to get the white paper first so I can read it and digest it first. And if you're noticing in these cases that I'm giving, I'm the one who's adapting to the other person. Mm-hmm. It's not like, too bad, I'm a podcast person, so you're only going to get a podcast. I'm learning and I'm asking from them what it is that they need, and then I'm meeting them where they're at. It's not always possible. Sometimes you can't do it. You just don't have the resources or the tools. However, if you can, if they prefer one way or another and you can meet them where they're at, go ahead and do it just to strengthen those interpersonal communications and relationships.
Great. But I would also ask the question, as you were talking, it made me seem like you were the only one having to make that adaptation. I would imagine that people also have to ask you those same types of questions so that you can share your best practices or desired ways of communication from somebody else. So we have to make sure that everybody understands that it's not just a one-way direction of conversation or communication, it's also coming back to you as well.
Great point. Thanks, Jeffrey.
Thank you. So we talked about benefits, we talked about challenges, we talked about everyday common mistakes that most of us make. What would you say would be a best practice in moving somebody forward and improving their interpersonal communication skills?
I would say the first place to start is something called emotional intelligence. Emotional intelligence, also known as EI, emotional intelligence, or EQ for your emotional quotient, is a way that we can start to understand and make sense of the world through emotions. A lot of people say that your IQ is important. I don't doubt that. And emotional intelligence is the number one predictor of a successful leader. And what it is, it has four different ways to look. The first way is self-awareness. What's going on with Anne? How is Anne feeling today? Nervous, excited, worried? What's going on with her right now? And then the second quadrant is, after self-awareness, it is self-management. How am I managing that? If I'm worried and nervous, am I letting the team see that? Mm-hmm. If I'm frustrated and angry, am I letting my colleague know that? So first we want to look at ourselves. What's going on with Anne? How is she doing today? Does she need to take a walk? Does she need to cool down? And then the same goes for around us. That's the social part. Social awareness is the third quadrant. So social awareness of what's going on at Jeffrey today. How's he feeling as we move into this podcast? And then social management. Is there anything I can do to support the person so that we are at a balanced equilibrium of our emotions? So emotional intelligence is a way that I look at myself, self-awareness and self-management, and I look at others around me, social awareness and social management. And when we practice those skills, we understand how people are approaching things, how people see things, and we can then start to improve our interpersonal communications.
I totally understand that. That reminds me, as you were explaining that, it reminds me of what's called the Johari window. And the Johari window allows you to see who you are. It allows you to see others. And then there's this black hole called the blind spot. And then there's awareness. So that keys right into that with me. Thank you. I can use that later as we move forward. So we understand what EQ is, as you've explained it, or EI, however we would like to say that. What do you think another benefit of having that understanding of EQ would be?
So in terms of the benefits just for sales, absolutely. When you start to look at the research, Pepsi, L'Oreal, Sheraton, they've all invested a lot in this, and the numbers are up in terms of sales, the numbers are up in terms of market growth. And the interesting thing, Jeffrey, is that the research shows that people who have a high EQ actually make $29,000 more. So it's not just a social, how do you do, let's talk and make sure I understand where you're at. It actually helps you and it helps your team.
Okay. I get that. And most people, like you said earlier, everybody has a different motivator. And for the folks that have a money or income, how they want to be seen as a motivation factor, that is a great example. And I think that's something that we can talk about later, maybe in a future podcast, to bring EQ more to the front so that people understand that a little better. Is there anything like a science behind how EQ or how we work EQ?
There is. So I'm a big fan of brain science, and there's something in our brain called the amygdala. And the amygdala is a part of our brain that triggers the fight, flight, or freeze mode. So when something happens and there's an emergency, all of a sudden we're either going to fight, we're going to flee, which is to run, or we're going to freeze. Mm-hmm. And that's human nature. It comes all the way back from prehistoric times, and it's what we call the reptilian part of our brain. And as we start to think about it, it's great. It keeps us safe when there really is a robbery or a burglary. And there is a downside of it. And the downside is that when our amygdala triggers, it's called a hijack of our frontal cortex. And our frontal cortex, unfortunately, is where we make decisions. So what happens is our brain says, danger, danger, danger. And we then start to have more oxygen pumped to our extremities so we can run and fight and those types of things. However, we literally cannot make a decision because we have less oxygen in that part of our brain. And so what happens is when we are in that amygdala trigger, that amygdala hijack, we literally are not thinking clearly, Jeffrey. And that is when we do things such as, I told you to take care of this, or why didn't you take care of this? And we have a reaction that we're going to regret later on. And so what we want to do is we want to calm ourselves down, to breathe deep. You may have heard that old expression, count to 20. There's actually a reason for that. It's actually count to 26 in terms of 26 seconds to get the oxygen back to our frontal cortex. And so if you think about interpersonal communications, we need to understand sometimes your brain takes over how you want to act. And probably the result is going to be something that you regret when it comes to an interpersonal communication. And so the science is to breathe, to relax before you open that mouth so that you can maintain the interpersonal communication that you want.
Great. I love the analogy that you gave for the amygdala. I love how science can always come back into play in the everyday things that we do. I liked how you brought it back to interpersonal communications, but if I had to develop that within myself, that EQ, what would be one of the techniques or tips that you could think of that I could use to build my EQ?
I would say probably the first two, if you remember, EQ is self-awareness, self-management, social awareness, social management. So let's start at the self-awareness. I would say first, just notice what emotions you're feeling. We are in back-to-back meetings. We have 20,000 emails we have to answer. We have IMs, we have texts, and our amygdala doesn't know the difference between the pressure we feel there as well as an actual robbery or the house is on fire. And so the first thing is to stop, take a few pauses, and just notice what you're feeling. I'll admit, when I was in my 20s, I really didn't know that much about this. And I really had just two adjectives when someone asked me how I was feeling. Anne, how are you doing today? Fine. And if I was really in a good mood, I would say, good. And that was really it. I didn't know all the other adjectives. And so I'd say the first step is just notice what you're feeling and then be able to name what you're feeling. Oh, I'm feeling hangry. Oh, I'm feeling frustrated. And that awareness alone will then be like, oh, if I'm feeling frustrated, probably not a good time to talk to so-and-so right now. Let me take a walk. So I'd say the first thing is just be aware of your emotions, build time into your calendar to start to regroup yourself, breathe, and make sure you're where you want to be so that you can show up the way you want to show up in those interpersonal relationships.
Great. No, I totally get that. There are days that, as you said, when you're reading 20,000 emails and you read that one email and you're starting to write that response because you don't realize that the response that you're writing is just anger based on something that you just read. And before you hit send, stand up, stretch, take a break, take a breath, go outside and clear your head and get some vitamin D, then come back and reread that message before you hit send. Because 9 times out of 10, you're going to change the response that you had. Because like you said, you're getting to that self-awareness piece of knowing what is about to happen and stop it from going to something worse. That's awesome. What would you say would be an effective way, besides taking that walk or taking that breath, of being able to use a best practice for EQ in the everyday workplace?
There's a couple best practices. So again, the first thing is that notice what's going on. The second thing is then notice the gap. Lots of times people will say to you with a frown on their face or an angry looking face, "I'm fine." Right? Mm-hmm. So just noticing that gap and then having the courage to ask a question, how can I support you? That type of thing. Mm-hmm. The other thing is to listen to other people, really like listen to what's going on with them. We're so busy in back-to-back meetings, we really don't listen. And so that's a way to start to figure out. And the final piece I would say is something called empathy. Mm-hmm. And people get these words confused. Empathy is different than sympathy. Sympathy is condolences. I'm so sorry for your loss. Empathy is being able to notice the emotions, what we're talking about, of mm-hmm. the person in our relationship, and being able to put yourself in their shoes. Gosh, Anne seems really frustrated. I wonder why she's frustrated. Oh, yeah, absolutely. You know, so-and-so is asking her to do all these things with a very tight deadline. I can understand how she feels. And so empathy, again, can be cultivated, just like EQ can be cultivated. And so I would say, once you understand your own emotions and can start to notice the gap, really start to look at the other person in this interpersonal relationship. And if they are having an amygdala hijack or just a bad day, really using your empathy to be able to build the bridges of that interpersonal communication.
That's great. Well, thank you so much. I know that we can talk about this topic for hours and hours, but we don't want to make these podcasts too long because we want people to come back and pick up more tips and tricks from us. So let's say that this is the end and it will conclude our interpersonal communications podcast. And we want to thank everybody that's taken time to listen to what tips and tricks that Anne has shared with us to be able to put this into practice every day. If you have some ideas on different projects of podcast and or webinars that we could do, or any questions or comments that you would like to share, please reach out to Anne directly. And you can do that in two ways, via email at A-N-N-E-L-O-E-H-R, Anne Lehr, at center, center.org, which stands for Center for Human Capital Innovation. But again, that's center.org. And then the second way of being able to reach out to her would be LinkedIn. She would love to become a new connection to you. She also shares a lot of things on her LinkedIn profile that you might find helpful. Take the time to link in with her and become a new friend. Again, Anne, thank you so much for joining me in the studio. It's been great. And I look forward to our continued relationship and building out new podcasts and new webinars.
Thank you, Jeffrey.
Have a wonderful day.